Okay, I mean, we've been giving you a number of ways, reviewing what we have learned, the things that we have been... Richard, can you tone it down a little bit? It's still, I'm still getting feedback. I'm still hearing myself. Okay, thanks. And we want to be able to recall those things. Right, you're still hearing... okay, yeah. Okay. At the same time, we want to look forward to new lessons. Now, I won't review it again since I've done that for Grace Works, and I think we have heard it a little bit today. But even as we study this theme again and ask ourselves, what is this spirit of faith? What is this same spirit of faith? And I hope that you have caught the spirit from what we have learned, from what you have observed. And one of the things I appreciate what Suhui said is that when you seek to catch the spirit, you cannot catch it through theory. If you're just going to sit there and do nothing, if you're not going to get involved, you're not going to be part of, you will never catch the spirit. A spirit is something that is caught. And that involves being part of. That involves service. So whether it's in a cleaning ministry or whether it is part of a committee, in any way, it is when you serve, you get to know people, you get to serve alongside them, you see how they serve, you catch it, right? It's very different from how you saw it before you entered into the cleaning ministry. You want to pay your dues, you want to pay your share for the food. And you see, you're right. It's a wrong perspective, you see. And if you didn't get to serve, you'll never learn what it means to truly have this same spirit. And you only caught it, what you have is just a glimpse of. Seriously. Because there's so much more. There's so much more involved when you talk about serving together. Now, one of the things that we want to learn this afternoon is that when you talk about this spirit, it involves both the mind and the heart. It cannot be just something that is external. If you're just here and it's just something that is external, you will never be able to catch this spirit. This spirit of faith involves the mind and involves the heart. So let's turn to Philippians 1. Let's try and understand this spirit a little bit more. And, well, let's read verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch, right, as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Now, that's quite a bit for us to actually explore this afternoon. But the word just as helps us to connect all the previous verses to this verse. Right? The word kathos basically means just as, or according to. So according to what has been thought or written down, this is some of the things that Paul was thinking about and have written so far. So there are thoughts of thanksgiving, thoughts about prayer, thoughts of fellowship, thoughts concerning God's wonderful work in our lives. These are good thoughts, and they are right thoughts to have. So as much as he said, you know, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, you see, he started off with prayer, right? So all these things really is part of the content of his prayer. These are the things that he's been thinking about, he's praying over, he's considering them, and it's key for this understanding of the spirit of faith. So what Paul is trying to say is, you know, I've written all these things, and just as, you know, it is right. These are the right things to think about. We know we have all kinds of thoughts. We have thoughts about this, we have thoughts about that, right? We have thoughts about work, we have thoughts about family, thoughts about our future, thoughts about Singapore sinking, and so and so far, I don't know how you come, you know, you have thoughts of fears such as that. Yes, I know Singapore is an island, but it will take a lot for Singapore to sink, right? Unless, as you say, you know, global warming and then the water levels will rise up and, right? That's why it's good to be in a submarine, yeah, you know, and you have Yuchai who's, right? So make sure you are friends with Yuchai so that you have a lift. And, right? So you have all kinds of thoughts, you know, but it is right to have these kind of thoughts, as Paul says. To have thoughts that you would pray over. To have thoughts that you, you know, that would affect the way you see fellowship. Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes when you talk to people, some of the things you ask them, okay, you know, what are you thinking about? When you counsel them, what is it that you're thinking about? And, you know, sometimes to help a person to really focus, it's really, what is it that you are thankful about? And being able to give thanks to God helps a lot. Being in a fellowship of those who can encourage you, you know, it does help a lot. And to know about how God works in your life. Yes, we all struggle with all kinds of things, with sin, we all struggle with problems, we all struggle with, I mean, we all kinds of struggles concerning our faith, we have doubts, we have difficulties. But remember, God continues to do that work in your life. He has not, you know, completed that work. He's not done yet. And it's, you know, a long way to go before he does that work that is truly completed. But these are good and right things to think about. Okay? So just as it is right for me to think this of you all, to think. So there is a great sense of purpose involved. You know, it is right for him to think. I mean, let me ask you, are you a person who just think, or are you a purposeful thinker? Right? Have you seen the statue called the Thinker? What do you think he's thinking about? What do you think he's thinking about? Right, you see the guy, you know, with his arms like that, and he's sitting there and he's thinking. And he's thinking. So what is he thinking about? Well, I think he's thinking, you know, where did I put my clothes? You're going to look at a picture, then you know why I say that, okay? And what are you thinking about? Are you a purposeful thinker? Do you think with a great sense of purpose? Because a lot of times we tend to think all over the place. Our thoughts go here, go there, go all over the place. So are you a purposeful thinker? Let me just extend that a little bit more. Are you a person who thinks biblically? Because we all tend to be influenced by all kinds of thoughts from the world, thoughts from people, thoughts from, you know, a person has this opinion, that opinion. But do we think biblically? Paul is one who is a very objective thinker based upon the Word of God. And as much as he thinks, you know, he considers, is this right for me to think about you guys? Is it right? Is it right according to the Word of God? Is it right? Is it a good, logical, right thing to do? So he guides his thoughts and he says he's focused and he's thinking. So it is right for him to think of the brethren, to think this of you all. all the thoughts that he had previously as he, you know, as he writes to them, the kind of regard that he has for them, right? To the saints, wow, he calls them saints in verse 1. He wishes them grace to you and peace. He gives thanks to God for every remembrance of you. And he prays for them and intercedes for them. He thinks about the fellowship that he had in the gospel. He thinks about how God has begun a good work in them and will complete it one day. See, these are good thoughts. Thoughts that we want to have also about ourselves, about each other, rather than all the negative things. Right? Now, sometimes we will have all kinds of, you know, we like to kid each other and say things about each other, and, you know, we will joke about each other. You know, it's all in good fun, right? We don't take it seriously. I hope that's, you know, we all understand each other, right? So when we talk about Jane and her lack of mathematical expertise, you know, we all understand why. That's why she's a doctor, right? And... But it's all in good fun. But, you know, at the same time, we all have to have the right thoughts about each other too. Let's go beyond the petty stuff. Oh, I can't stand this person. Why is this person like that? Why is your hair like that? Pastor Mark, why is your hair like that? You are already 50 years old, coming to 50 years, why must you cut your hair like that? I like what, you know? And, you know, actually, if I have a choice, I'd rather cut both down, seriously. It's a bit of a trouble every time, you know, got to comb your hair and things like that. I find it a bit of a trouble every morning. How I wish is like, you know, no need to wash, no need to, you know, comb, no need to bother too much. Frankly, well, I loved it when I was in NS, you know, it's like no worries whatsoever. But, you know, of course, you don't, unless you're Moses, you know, that's fine. But, maybe one day I'll go there also with all the hair loss that I've been gaining. And but you know, what are the good thoughts that you want to have? And to think about each other. So it's important for us to do that. Why? Because part of it is really related to the heart. That's why in verse 7, it says, because I have you in my heart. Now this week, next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about the heart. What is it that we have in our hearts? It matters. It matters when it comes to how we cultivate the spirit of faith, how we regard each other, and how we see each other, and how we feel about each other. I think that's very important. Okay? So because... Where you get the word dia, because. The word dia is usually through, but because it is in this context and a certain ways in which they phrase the Greek, it is translated as because. This is the reason why, right? Reason for his thinking. Why I think of you in this way? Because I have you in my heart. He is expressing his love in the most wonderful way. Now, it is interesting for us to understand this. I'm just going to explain something in the Greek for you to appreciate why Paul writes the way he does. So the word I have, okay, is usually this word echo. Okay? I have. Right? So let's look at this. And now, here we read, right, because I have you in my heart. That's the translation. Okay? But in this verse, you have an interesting way in which he has expressed this. He writes this as tor ekein. Okay? Now, what does this mean? Right? And it says, basically, he is using an article, the, and he is using what we call the infinitive, to a king. Now, so he could, you know, if I were to say, I have you, I could just write this, echo. This is a very simple way of writing it. But Paul chose to write it in a more sophisticated way. And he writes it and says, the one, right, that has or to have. Okay, so it is to have. Now, to have the things pertaining concerning this, you know, that is in my heart. Now, why does he do this? You know, this is interesting. Let me ask you, why do you think he did that? Instead of writing it simply, you know, I can write it simply. Some of you are writers, you know. And at the same time, he chose to write it in a more sophisticated way, more classical way, and he writes it this way. Why? To describe how, as he thought about the brethren, and the reason why I have you in my heart. Okay? And it's interesting because, anybody wants to try? No? Any idea? Why? Why would you write simply, and why would you write something with, whoa, in a more sophisticated way, more beautiful language, with greater language? Why? Right, I mean, if somebody were to write to you and say, you know, wow, I can say I love you, right? But I can say, you know, wow, you know, when I look into your eyes, they are like the moon that shines into my heart. Wow. And you bring a glow that I've never felt before. Yeah, yeah. Well, I never write this kind of things for her. But you know, when you have someone who is, you know, where you have a deep sense of love for someone. And here we see Paul expressing that deep sense of love for the church. And he writes it in a way that is, you know, expressed in a more sophisticated way. And instead of just writing simply, he writes it in a way that is truly, you know, a Greek that is more classical, that we want to appreciate. You know, for Paul to express himself to the brethren, because I have you in my heart. I thought, wow, that's something. That is what it means to have a spirit of faith. When you are thinking about the brethren, and you have a real heart of love for the brethren, in which you're not just saying it. The brethren are truly in his heart. It is there. It dwells there. It resides there. Because there is this sense of love. So when we talk about Bethany, we're going to celebrate our anniversary next month. So tomorrow onwards, we are gearing ourselves towards our anniversary. You know, 44th anniversary, 44 years the Lord has blessed us. And we want to continue to have this same spirit of faith. And we're going to talk about the works, to establish the works of our hands. And, you know, the work of God must be done in a way that is truly of the same spirit, you know, with a great sense of oneness and heart. But, you know, it's important that we have Bethany, that we have the young adults, that we have our brethren in our hearts. Because then when we develop this sense of love, this sense of appreciation, of relationship, then as we cultivate this spirit together, in serving together, in facing our challenges together, then we know that this is something that is truly of the heart, something that is on our mind, you know, and something that we want to truly develop for ourselves and cultivate for ourselves. I hope this is something that you are considering and thinking about. Okay, now, we may or may not go into our groups today, partly because we are going to celebrate the birthdays of those in June and in July. Now, there's a lot of people, but I don't know whether all of them are here. But nonetheless, I took time to write all the cards. Okay? I'm telling you, it took me hours. Okay? I'm telling you. Right? I took time to write each card. Okay? And I told the committee members, you know, let's do birthday cards for each and everyone. I say, okay. Then I realized I have to be the one that writes the card. Right? So, and you know, I took time to write. Seriously. And, you know, I write differently to each person. Very much depends on the relationship that I have with you. And I hope that we can continue to develop that relationship along the way. But nonetheless, at this point in time, there are different levels of relationship. And I write differently to each one. But I have all of you in my heart. First of all, generally, because you are part of the young adults group. But also at the same time, I relate to you personally too. In the way in which I will talk to you, in the which I will counsel you, in the way in which I will guide you, in the way in which I will teach you. You know, when I came back from, Chingy and I, we went on the trip. We went over to Scotland, UK for a while, and we came back. You know, the week I came back, I had to meet up with different people. And I counted, I had 10 different parties, whether as individuals or as a group. 1 week, within that 7 days, I had 10 different groups of people that I had to meet, to talk to relate to interact, to counsel, and to work with. And that's the kind of heart that I have with people. Because I know that there's a need for me to be there, to talk to the person, to guide the person, to guide this group, to whether it's over lunch, over dinner, and that's relating. That's interacting. That's talking about the challenges that we have in life and can we learn to encourage each other and to face these challenges together. Can we talk about the decisions that we have to make, the choices that we have to make, and can we bring in wisdom and guidance from the Word of God to help us to make those choices? You see, this is, so as much as I was teaching this, I was practicing it by the way in which I was writing these cards. So if you receive a card today, and you know, because you're going to celebrate, I mean, you have celebrated, or you're going to celebrate in July, you're going to receive a card. If I miss out, well, we have extra cards also to work with. But, you know, I write it from the heart. As I thought about it, as I thought about you, and I thought about our relationship, as I thought about the work that I see, the work of God in your life, I write. And I hope that that's something that you can appreciate. Because at the end of the day, there is a very general approach that you can take in relating, in serving, and so on and so forth. But if we can learn to take a far more personal, where there is a sense of love that is found within the heart for each other, in the way in which we think about each other, and really being able to cultivate this. I mean, if you receive a card, what I'm writing is really my thoughts. Thoughts about you. Thoughts about our relationship. Okay? So usually the cards nowadays, I will get those who have been doing the cards to use a verse that we've been thinking about or studying about. So those of you in June, it was really about he who began a good work in you, right? And today, because we haven't had been, we haven't had a lesson, now I was thinking, okay, what should we include? And I say, okay, today's lesson, because I have you in my heart. And literally, I had to practice this, because as I wrote, I write what was in my heart. Okay, and I hope that that's something that you can appreciate. Okay, Mike. Okay, look, the YMG people have gone. They have gone over to Pastor's side. So I really like you to interact lots more. Okay, raise questions. Ask. I hope that that would be useful for you. Yeah, go ahead.
So Pastor Paul is able to write dia to ekin, and then you are able to have this love for the brethren.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're like Paul, I know you minister to us. But how does somebody else, like, say, a young adult or somebody quite new, develop or cultivate this sort of sense of belonging and this same spirit of faith?
Yeah. So, which is what we are trying to. Good question. I think it's important for us to, as much as we learn. So, the first thing is to learn together. That's why, as a young adults, we are seeking to learn this from, you know, all that we are learning is something that has been planned, something that has been thought through very carefully, right? What is the theme that we want to work with? The same spirit of faith. Because it is important for us as a young adults to cultivate this spirit. Secondly, where do we draw these lessons from? Well, wonderful example is Paul, right? As much as he wrote to many epistles to different groups, there is no other epistle like the epistle of Philippians, where he really expressed this spirit, this heart for the brethren because of their close relationship. And it's something that I desire and hope that we will have too. I can desire it, I can wish for it, I can pray for it, I can work towards it, I can teach you about it, but at the end of the day, it's up to you. Whether you want to relate or not, I cannot force you. Right? I cannot go to Jason, hey, hello, you never write to me. You never email me. You never talk to me. You never... No, I can't do that, right? Joanne can do that to you, but... right? And, it's important for us to say, you must make that. I've said this again and again and again, and some of you are doing that. Right? As much as I do this, I say it also for all the other pastors. Please relate. Relate to Pastor Charlie. Relate to Pastor Mitch. Relate to me, to the leaders, to your committee members, and so on and so forth. Relate. Because the more you relate, the more you interact, the more you learn what it means to serve alongside each other, you learn to catch the spirit. See, so to your answer, Jane, as I, we've emphasized this again and again, it has to be caught. No matter how much we talk about it, no matter how much we, demonstrate it and so on and so forth, it has to be caught. It means you doing your part. It means you learning what it means to interact. It means you think, seeking. Say, you know what, Pastor Mark, I would like to serve. Please let me know how I can serve. Well, there's different ways in which you can serve. So I cannot just depend on the committee members. The committee members can do, and they can do so much and no more. We need others, right? So, even like, for instance, sharing. So one of the things that we have decided, because previously the pre-worship was done by the committee members, now we're going to get some of you to be involved. Some of you to be involved in the chairings, more people to be involved in the chairing, more people to be involved in the pre-worship part, so that we can have another avenue for us to serve. But it does mean relating. It does mean learning what it means to be faithful. Okay, any other questions? Right. And I hope that this is something for us to develop as we go along. Okay. Now, let's look at verse 7 again. And it's... Okay? Now look at what Paul does. Look at the way in which he sought to express this love and concern. He says here, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. See, he's willing to do all these things for the sake of the brethren. What are we willing to do? Seriously. In my chains. Now, the word chains here, of course, let's try and understand it in two contexts. It's not just physical. Let's try and understand it also in terms of that which is spiritual. So turn with me to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 22. And it says here, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Right? So it is the same word that is being used here, desmos. The idea here is that it's not just about something that's physical. When he says, I go bound, right? This is written in a perfect tense. It basically means, I have been bound all this while. See, Paul sees himself as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's bound by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he himself bound to the Lord, bound to this ministry, bound in the Spirit. What are we bound to? Right? We all tend to be bound to the things of the world, to our work, to all kinds of things. Are we bound to the Lord? Are we bound to his ministry? What are we bound to? See, for Paul, this is the spirit that he has. His focus. He's not distracted. He sees himself as a prisoner of the Lord. There's nothing else that matters. What are we bound to? Okay? And it's something that is, by the time you come to Acts 20, this is his reflection concerning his life. It is something that he has been doing all the time throughout. This is his lifestyle. This is how he saw his life. Okay? By the same time, it also reflects the physical chains that he had to go through. So let's go back to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Then we see that he is... right? He is in chains. In my chains. He's willing to do everything for the sake of the brethren, even to suffer for them. See, that's where a real test of our relationship, a real test of this spirit that we have, what we call faith. What are we willing to do for each other? To what extent would you go for each other? For Paul, he was willing to suffer much because of how he felt for the brethren. So the question is, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do for Bethany? What are you willing to do for the brethren? know, so we have had 6 funerals. Let me ask you, seriously, how many of you were at any of the funerals? Were you there when the family needed encouragement? You know, sometimes even though we may not know them, but nonetheless, being there matters. Right? Of course, we were there with the family, except for Auntie Jessie's one because I was away. But, you know, right from the very beginning, whenever they give us a call to tell us that someone has passed away, we drop everything, we go down, and we are there. Whether it's the middle of the night, whether it is any time, we are there with them. And we are there with them throughout the whole process. We recognize how traumatic it can be, and they don't know what to do. So we are there. We make sure everything is done properly, and that when we conduct the funeral services, vigil services, it's always done in a way that is honoring to the family and to the one who has passed on. You know, this is something that I've caught from Pastor. When he does something, when he talks about service, whether it is a wedding, whether it is a funeral, or any other event, it is always done in a way that honors the Lord, honors those whom we are ministering to, and it honors the church for what we believe in, what we stand for. So when I hear, as what Jane says, sometimes people will say, you know, you do things differently. When we talk about this, it's not so much as boasting. We're just trying to say that this is our spirit. This is how we do things. And it's a biblical way of doing things. And it's a spirit that has to be caught by each and every one of us. If we start doing things differently, and you see, like, for instance, even a simple thing like ushering, right? Sometimes when I look at the ushers at a wedding, and in my mind, I know exactly what they are supposed to do. But when I don't see them doing it, then I will try and tell them, look, this is how you should do it. And if they don't do it, somehow, you know, somebody's missing or whatever, then I will do it. But I know that, you know, because oftentimes they are in the capable hands of Jane, and, you know, things are done, and we see it being done because she has the same spirit. You know, sometimes we go to a wedding, after everything is done, there is no ushers. Everybody just gets up and do, and then, you know, it's a bit... To us, that's one way of doing it. But for us, we want to be organized. We want people to be as comfortable as possible. We tell people, you know, don't stand up first, sit down, relax. One by one, we will lead you down, row by row. And it's comfortable, and it's easy, and you don't have to be waiting out there. Even in simple things like this, Pastor has a philosophy of how things are meant to be done. And I catch that. And I, you know, and for us, as pastors, we ensure that it's also being done. Because it is the same spirit in which of service and how we do things. You know, in Hokkien, there is this word. You know, you want to do things, must do sui sui. Right? It must be done wonderfully, you know, and always honoring to the Lord, to the couple, and to the church. We honor the Lord. Secondly, we honor the couple. Anything that we do that dishonors them, then, you know what, what's the point of doing that? Thirdly, the church name is involved here. And we honor the name of the church. This is the Lord's church. This is the church of Christ. So it's important for us to do things for the sake of others. Maybe you won't have to come to a point where you have to suffer for each other. Right? I don't think, you know, anytime soon we will have to do that. Because of the nature of where we are at peace and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, what would you do on for the sake of others? Now, at the same time, it talks about the defense of the gospel, where you get the word apology. Paul is one in which he sought to defend. So there was the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He was willing to suffer much in order to put up a defense and a confirmation of that gospel, to establish the gospel. The word confirmation is really to establish. Right? Whether it is through the preaching of the word of God, whether it's through signs and wonders for Paul during that time, they still could do signs and wonders. And the defense of the faith, to me, must be based upon the word of God. It is not about your words or this person's words or that opinion or that opinion. Whatever it is that we defend, whatever, I mean, when you talk about our faith, it must be based upon the word of God. And I like to make this statement because for Paul, whenever he defended the faith, it was always based upon the word of God. And I found that when we talk about, you know, having to defend that faith, whether it is against false teachings, against that which is untrue, we must have the basis, which is the word of God. We try anything else, you know, to me, the best approach is really the word of God. But that's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. There's always a reference to the scriptures, to the word of God. This is the truth that we must have. And this is Paul's heart. He is willing to do all these things for the sake of the brethren. Right? Okay, any questions? Look, I'm asking you to interact. I don't see any interaction. Questions? Anything at all? Can you see this same spirit of faith that we must have? Whether it is relationship that we have, whether it is the understanding of the gospel, we all must have the same spirit of faith. Paul, ask a question, Paul. Since we are talking about Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, just now when we were talking about the word, how do you pronounce it? The one about
which word?
Echo.
Which English word?
Ishan, or is it echo? The one below.
I echo. Have, yeah.
The one. That's so right. It's to emphasize a deeper sense of love, right? So I'm just wondering, the reason and the source of why we can have this deeper sense of love, was it because of the love that Jesus given to us and then we reciprocate it?
Because ultimately, yeah. Actually, I will answer that next week. Right? Because it says here, for God is my witness, verse 8, right? For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a fascinating word, affections. And I'm trying to explain this word a little bit more in depth next week. But in brief, that is the source. Right? Because you're right. End of the day, what is the source of this love? It is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must love each other with. Because if you say, let me find that love within myself, cannot. Your love can go so far and no more. True? Maybe not towards Suhela, right? No, just kidding. But, you know, it's just learning how to love in a way that is beyond ourselves. That is how you love. Because ultimately, how Paul sought to love really had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk about it lots more next week. But in brief, that is your answer. We must have the Lord Jesus as the source of our love. It cannot, yeah, Stacy. Mike, Stacy.
Pastor Mark, how do you establish the gospel?
Well, when you talk about it, it's related, right? Because when you talk about this idea of the gospel is there, all right? Because, okay, so when you get this idea of the euangelion, the idea of good news, so it says here, right, the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. It is not that the gospel is not there, that needs to be established. The gospel is already given. You know, you have the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and, you know, the word of God has been given. And Paul has that to work with concerning what is the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. So in a way, that has already in existence. So Paul has to then, one, put up a defense. He needs to defend this because people have all kinds of ideas concerning what faith is. There's false teaching, as you will see in chapter 3 later, you come where there is Jewish influence concerning what is truth, what is salvation, and so on and so forth. So you have false teachings involved. So Paul had to say, you know what, I came to you, I needed to put up a defense concerning what the gospel is, but as much as I put out a defense, what I'm seeking to do is to establish that gospel in your midst so that you will be able to confirm this. The defense and the confirmation is very important. Okay? This word for us, you know, that we want to appreciate. Okay? This word, okay, it really talks about establishment. Okay, babiosis. Now, it's really being able to recognize how things are meant to be. The stronger word is to establish. Between confirmation and establish, establish is a far stronger word to express this point here. And so I think the word established is a better translation rather than just confirmation. And it is something for us to appreciate. We need to see it being established. That means it's come to a point where this doctrine, this gospel, is not filled with false teachings or false understanding. That is something that has to be corrected. And once it's corrected, then what is the truth? So the truth has to be then established in your midst, to be taught, to be understood, to be applied, right? So the gospel involves the work of God, right? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it in a day. So it's part of the work of God. And then it talks about fellowship, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. See, it's in the sphere of this gospel. The gospel is not any other gospel. When you read the book of Galatians, they talk about another gospel. So when you see in a context of false teaching, and today you have many, many false teachings, even concerning the gospel. There are people who are out there who says that, you know, you can believe in God, you repent once, and then that's it already. You don't need to be to ask God, you know, for you don't need to repent anymore. And to me, that's absolutely wrong. That is not according to the gospel of Christ. As much as we ask God for forgiveness and we need to repent, we will still sin and we still need to repent. That is part of the grace of God that is extended to us. So there are many wrong teachings that are out there, even in the context of the Philippian church. So Paul had to come in and put up a defense and then to establish what is the true gospel based upon the word of God, not anything else. Can you see this? Is it clear?
So like different gospels, as in like different epistles that Paul wrote,
yes,
to address different issues,
yes,
he is in fact establishing.
Correct, precisely the point. Because each and every epistle, there are issues. Right? Even the Philippian church, there are issues. Some, like for instance, the Galatian epistle, he's very strong in his language because it was something that was in need of, you know, because of the another gospel that was there. It was being taught. That means the false teaching had already established itself. In Philippians here, they are making inroads. It wasn't established yet. It wasn't something that was, you know, but when you come to the book of Galatians, it was false teachings was already established to some extent. And that's why he needed to correct this. It was being taught. So yes, each and every epistle, he's addressing, you know, certain issues, but it is only one gospel. The same gospel has to be established in the context of each and every church or brethren. Okay, any other question? Okay, so that's important for us to seriously consider and to think about. Now, then it comes to this point in verse 7, you all are partakers with me of grace. To me, it's absolutely important because if you do not have the truth, if you do not have the right gospel, if we just do things in our own, you know, to do things based upon all kinds of false teachings, it affects our understanding of grace. Because ultimately, what he's trying to say is, you all are partakers with me of grace. This is where the same spirit of faith is so important, because the word partakers of, okay? The word partakers is actually the word fellowship. Same word, actually. Right? Koinonia or koinonos, right? And the idea here is that there is a soon. Now, what that means is that you fellowship with, you share in, you partake of. So each time when we fellowship, each time when we interact, each time when you raise a question to me, each time when we talk about things, each time when you seek counsel, we are fellowshipping with each other. And as we fellowship, we learn what it means ultimately. See, for Paul, because of who he is apostle. And as much as they related with him, and as much as he taught them, there is this idea of partaking with him of the grace of God. Okay? So it's no longer about the individual. See, we all tend to think faith is about an individual. Yes, it is. But ultimately, it is about the people. It's about the church. See, everyone in ministry, we are one in the Lord. We are one heart, one spirit, one faith. And we have that same grace that we all can partake of. You know, look at this idea of grace. Grace and peace to you. I thank my God upon you. Grace is involved in thanksgiving. Making requests for you all with joy. Joy is the word grace also. Remember that? I hope you remember that, right? You remember? We studied that. So we are all joined together in fellowship. The brethren, they were all joined together with Paul in fellowship, partaking of this grace of God. Okay, so that's something for us to think about. So as much as we share, as much as we interact, so later on when we go down, we're going to have a bit of time of fellowship together. As we talk about the Lord, as we talk about His Word, as we talk about the things we have learned, we share in the grace. We partake of the grace. And grace is something that, of course, as we have talked about it, it is something that is huge. Many things for many aspects concerning grace. Okay, let me very quickly, before that, any other question? 5 more minutes before we go down. Or sooner if you don't have questions. What? Is this something you know already? You know, Pastor Mark, you're teaching something I already know. Or is this something that you... Or my explanation is so clear that you have absolutely no questions. Or you're too shy to ask questions. What? It's so important for us to be able to share in this grace, to partake of this grace together in fellowship. And I hope, well, I appreciate all the questions. It's a good start. I hope that there's something that we can... Let me just sum it up a little bit. So first thing, you know, as you talk about Paul, as he thought about it, first of all, he considered that which is right. What is the right thing to think about? What is it that he, you know, thought about? Well, he thought about the brethren. This is what I have, you know, I considered. Okay? That just as it is right for me to think this of you all. So he had the right thinking. He had the right perspective in mind. And then this is his reason, right? Because I have you in my heart. This is the heart reasoning. You know, the heart is also meant to be thinking, right? A lot of times people think, a lot of times people feel without thinking. The heart is meant to think also, okay? It is meant to reason. So this is his heart reasoning. I have you in my heart. Because I have you in my heart, you know, I think about you. And these are my thoughts concerning you. Right? And I have you in my heart, and it is regard. So it is, what is it regarding? It is regarding the chains that I have, both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Because I have you in my heart, and you know what? Regarding this, it has to do with why I'm willing to do all these things. I'm willing to suffer for your sake. You know? It is for the sake of the gospel, the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Okay? And because I have done all these things, for your sake, and you have the gospel, then we can partake, right? This is what we call a ramification. We can partake of the grace of God together. Well, that's one way of remembering today's lesson. Right? And, you know, it flows. See, ultimately, how Paul sought to minister flowed from his life, from his heart. Ministry is never something that is external, perfunctory. You know, it doesn't work. For me, when I serve, it must be something that flows from my life, from my heart. My heart must be involved. My mind must be involved. And that's how I do things. As we serve. And we all must do the same thing. We must be able to say, you know, I serve with this mental perspective, with this thinking, I serve with this kind of heart. I have the church in my heart. I have the brethren in my heart. And that's why I serve. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary. How much are we willing to sacrifice for the sake of others? When we do that and we understand that, then we are sharing in that special sense of grace. Right? You all are partakers with me of grace. Paul is a wonderful example for us to appreciate this same spirit of faith. And I hope that that's something that you will also catch as we begin the second half of this year and look forward to, you know, exciting things ahead. Okay? All right, let's pray before we go downstairs for some fellowship together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for the example of Paul and the Philippian church in how they were able to cultivate the same spirit of faith. We want to pray and thank you for the kind of heart that Paul had, in which he had the brethren, in which he loved the brethren, and that he sought to do all he could for their sake. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to cultivate this kind of thinking, the way in which we want to live our life, the way in which we want to serve you, that we all can be fellow partakers of the grace of God, that we can serve together as one with the same spirit of faith. We ask that you will continue to help us to catch the spirit of faith, to cultivate the spirit of faith, even as we fellowship together. So we ask for your special blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go downstairs, and we're just going to celebrate all the birthdays.